Isa sa mga kilalang New Testament scholars sa panahon natin ngayon, ang pangalan ay si Don Carson, shares a story about an old man na kung saan sineshare niya na he has been married for 60 years. 60 years. So, isa sa mga nagtanong sa kanya, ask him, after all this time, sabi ng batang ito, have you ever considered divorce? Sabi ni ng matandang ito, sabi, divorce? Divorce? Never. Murder, oftentimes. But never divorce. Hindi ko alam kung seryoso siya nung sinabi niya yun, ano yung matandang yun. Pero he does drive a very important point sa sinabi niyang yun. Ang divorce po, o ang paghiwalay ng mag-asawa, has caused numerous pain. Maraming pamilya ang winasak at maraming mga anak na lumaki na marahil ay traumatized sa pagpapaasawa, sa pagpapakasal. And sadly, naging very common sa society natin ito. Parang wala na lang, parang naging normal na lang kapag pinag-uusapan yung hiwalayan ng mag-asawa. Friends, what is your view ng marriage at saka ng divorce? What is your view pagdating sa paghihiwalay ng mag-asawa? Quite honestly, it doesn't really matter kung anong view natin pagdating dito. Ang mahalaga po rito kung ano bang view ng Panginoon patungkol ho dito as we open God's Word ngayong gabi na ito. At yun po ang titignan natin sa passage natin tonight. As Jesus talks about disciples, itong crowds of people, and talk about kung ano ang biblical marriage at saka divorce. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa Gospel according kay Mark. Last week, iniwan natin si Jesus at sa private teaching time niya with his disciples sa isang bahay po sa Capernaum. Ngayon naman, makikita natin sa ating pag-aaralan na nanumbalik na ulit siya sa kanyang public teaching ministry. And this time, sa harapan ng maraming crowds. First time na ginamit yung salitang crowds. Hindi lang siya crowd na maraming tao, kundi crowds, maraming klaseng tao. So, and from there, papalapit na po siya sa Jerusalem. And we know na kapag papalapit na papalapit na siya sa Jerusalem, papalapit at papalapit na rin po siya sa kanyang pagkapako sa krus o crucifixion. In our passage tonight, Jesus patiently, lovingly, and boldly disciples his followers about divorce at saka marriage. Marriage is a God-given covenant to husbands and wives that was designed ideally to ideally end only until death. Marriage is a God-given covenant to husbands and wives that was designed to ideally end only until death. Dalawang points lang po tayo ngayon at may mga sub-points yung points natin. So number one, divorce. Verses 1 to 5 at saka verses 10 to 12. And number two, marriage. Verses 6 hanggang 9. Number one, divorce. Buksan niyo ang inyong mga Biblia sa Mark chapter 10, at babasahin ko yung verse 1. And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. Ang sabi sa verse 1, crowds were gathered. Mas lalong dumadami ang followers ni Jesus. At syempre kung nasaan ang maraming tao, dun din matatagpuan ang mga Pharisees. Alam natin na ayon sa chapter 3 verse 6 na nagpa-plot o nagpaplano na ang mga Pharisees upang patumbahin si Jesus dahil mas sumisikat na siya kaysa sa kanila. Ilang beses na silang napahiya kay Jesus at sa kanyang teaching. At ito ang isa sa kanilang naisip na paraan upang patumbahin si Jesus. Tingnan niyo yung verse 2. And Pharisees came up and in order to test him asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Yung salitang test dito also means trap. So in short, itong tanong na ito ay isang entrapment. Okay? Para mahuli nila si Jesus. Isa sa mga mainit na topic nung panahon nila dito ay yung divorce o diborsyo, na sila mismong mga Pharisees ay hindi magkakaparehas ang paniniwala patungkol dito kasi may dalawang klaseng view pagdating po sa rabbinic schools of thought pagdating ho sa divorce. Yung una, yung pwede natin tawagin na conservative view o yung school of thought na conservative ang kanilang paniniwala pagdating sa divorce, na maaari ka lamang magpa-divorsyo on the grounds of sexual immorality. So in short, kapag si partner ay nangalun niya or nag-commit ng adultery, immediately kailangan mo hiwalayan yan. Grounds yan for divorce. Pangalawa, yung isang school of thought naman ay yung tinatawag ng mga liberal. Ito ay naniniwala na pwede ka magpa-divorsyo kahit anong dahilan. Hindi mo nagustuhan yung luto ng misis mo, o kaya naman, parang hindi ko na ata type si misis, pwede na yan, hiwalayan mo na yan, divorsyo ka agad. Yun yung isang school of thought. Pwede ka na maghanap ng ibang asawa. Maaring ang inaasahan nilang sagot ni Jesus ay maghahantong sa isa sa mga panig na ito. At kung makapili man siya, ay malamang tututulan niya yung isang panig. At kapag ganun na nga nangyari, makahati ngayon yung followers si Jesus at magkakaroon ng maraming haters. Hindi ba? Yun ang plano. O maaari siguro hindi yon. Maaari kasi sila'y nasa teritoryo ni King Herod Antipas. Now, sa mga nakakaalala, nasa chapter 6 po yun, nung nabalitaan natin yung na-inkwentro natin yung karakter na si Herod Antipas, at laging kasama yan si John the Baptist, no? Ito yung hari na kunsang pinugutan mismo si John the Baptist. Bakit kamo? Because he publicly rebuked itong haring ito dahil mismo sa maling relasyon niya, dahil sa kanyang divorce. Hindi niya nagustuhan, ano? Dahil dyan, pinakasalan niya yung asawa ng kanyang kapatid. So, because nandun siya sa lugar na yon, alam ng mga Pharisees, tinanong itong tunog na to. At sigmaray siguro lahat ng crowds na nandoon, mainit yung balita na yan. Ano kayang sagot ni Jesus dito? Malamang siguro kinakabahan niyo ba? Magkamali lang itong mamang ito, patay ito. Kasi yun yung hopes ng mga Pharisees na may magkamali lang na salita si Jesus, makakarating sa hari, kung ano man ang mangyari kay John the Baptist, yun din ang mangyari sa kanya. Yun yung hopes. For whatever the reason, the question was not sincere, but sinister. But Jesus' answer was not what they were expecting. Hindi ito inaasahan nilang sagot ni Jesus. Jesus uses this time as an opportunity to teach principles about biblical marriage and divorce. Tingnan po natin kung paano niya sinagot. Verse 3. He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of your heart, he wrote you this commandment." Tanong tayo sa verse 10. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. Verse 11. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Let me share to us a couple of things about divorce. Okay? Unang-una, ito na yung isa sa mga sub-points natin. Divorce was not part of God's divine plan. Divorce was not part of God's plan. Hindi ang Panginoon na nag-invento nito, hindi ang Panginoon ang mismong nagplano nito. Sinagot ni Jesus ang tanong ng mga Pharisees sa pamamagitan ng isa pang tanong. He was referring to the Mosaic legislation on divorce certificate na matatagpuan sa Deuteronomy chapter 24 verses 1 to 4. Yun yung tinutukoy niya. Ano ba ang sinabi ni Moses? Total, bilib na bilib kayo kay Moses. Ano ba ang sinabi ni Moses? Okay? Itong Mosaic legislation na ito was never part of God's divine plan. Ngunit dahil sa walang makatupad ng standards ng Panginoon pagdating sa marriage, Moses' legislation on divorce certificate is God's provision or God's providence to limit sin of casual divorce and not to increase yung rate ng divorce. Now, let me talk about sa inyo mamaya kung ano yung casual divorce. Okay? Dahil bago itinalaga ni Moses itong legislation ng divorce certificate na ito, nangyayari na ang diborsyo sa relasyon nung panahon na yon. Okay? Ang pagkakaiba lang po nito, yung husband, yung Jewish husband, can divorce his wife verbally. O paano? Nasunog mo na naman. Wala na. Hanap na ako ng iba. Ganon. Ganon ang ginagawa nila. Verbally, pwede na kita hiwalayin. Parang magkasintaan lang. O paano? Sorry, it's not going to work, nak. Di ba? Parang ganon lang. Di ba? Parang tas hiwalay na. Yun yung nangyayari noong time na yun. Okay. Moses' legislation on divorce certificate is God's providence. Ito po nangyayari rito. Leaving itong mga kababaihan ito helpless and unprotected. Remember, kung kasal ka noong time na yun, babae ka, you are dependent sa provision and protection ng iyong asawa. At kapag dinivorce ka na lang ng gano'n, nasaan ang provision? Nasaan ang protection? Kawawa sila. Okay? At hindi pa ho doon magwawakas yun. So sumama yung lalaki sa ibang babae, na-discovery niya, siguro, mas, hindi ko pala type to, mas okay si misis. So babalikan niya ngayon yung babae. At uulitin niya ulit yon sa iba, at uulitin niya, and then, abused ang babae. Kawawa. So ginawa ni Moses ito to protect yung rights. Para hindi parang ari-arian lang ang babae, yung wife. Kaya ginawa niya ito. Okay? So Moses' legislation ng divorce certificate ay nagsisilbing proteksyon sa mga wives who were brutally abandoned and abused by their husbands. It prevents women to be treated like yung term na property, no? Ang problema po sa Pharisees nung time na yon, they celebrated and strongly encouraged divorce for whatever reason na meron ka. Kung nasunog ang iyong tilapia, kung hilaw yung kanin, grounds na yan for divorce. Nakakatakot pala mga kababaihan mamuhay nung time na yun, ano? Magkamali ka lang. Ba't hindi na wala yung mantsa sa aking laba? Hindi na pa, divorce. Lahat pwede maging grounds ng divorce. So, which is nakakalungkod po yung kalagayan ng mga kababaihan ito. Ang sinasabi ni Jesus sa verse 5, ang Deuteronomy chapter 4 was not designed to encourage divorce. It was given to protect hurting and helpless wives from the damage that has been caused by the wicked human heart. It was a protection. It's a means. It's not to encourage. Now, para lang po magkaroon tayo ng linaw sa ating mga definisyon pagdating sa salitang divorce or divorcio, allow me to define it. Ito po ay isang legal na kapamamaraanan na ipasawalang bisa ang sibil na pagpapakasal ng mag-asawa. Nawawalan po ng bisa. Isang legal na paraan, to make it short, isang legal na paraan na permanente ng magkahiwalay ang asawa. Yun po ibig sabihin ng divorce. And I believe yun din ang simple definition sa panahon natin ngayon. Wala pong diborsyo sa Pilipinas. Bagamat meron po tayo yung tinatawag na annulment. Bagamat po malaki ang pagkakaiba ng isa, ng bawat isa, pero iisa lang po ang pinupunto ng dalawang ito. Okay, yung pagkakahiwalay ng mag-asawa legally. Hindi natin tatalakayin kung anong terms and definitions ng dalawa, pero kagaya ng sinabi ko, ito ay nagpapawalang bisa sa pagpapakasal ng mag-asawa. O sa kasal ng mag-asawa. Malinaw po sa Malakay chapter 2, verse 16, that God hates divorce. He hates it. He abhors it. Or should I say, pati annulment. Or should I say, yung pagkakahiwalay ng mag-asawa, kahit walang legalities. God hates that. Hindi gusto ng Panginoon yun. Jesus is saying sa verse 9, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate, let no man including yung couple. Malinaw po yun. I heard a story years ago sa aking kaibigan na kung saan sa church daw nila may isang diko na umuwi sa bahay nila one night, dala-dala ang isang babae na hindi niya asawa. At nung nakita niya ang kanyang asawa, dahil ilang gabi na sila nag-aaway, sinabi niya, honey! Kami ang God's will, hindi ikaw. So, nasyak syempre yung babae. Ano ba yung sasabi mo, hindi kami ang God, tayo ang God's will, tayo ang kasal. Dahil nga mas nag-jive daw yung kanilang relationship. Married couples, If you are here tonight and are asking yourselves, wondering if you married the right person, if yan po ay naglilinger sa iyong isipan kung tama ba ang pinakasalang kong tao, allow me to echo yung sinabi ni Pastor John Piper nung may nagtanong sa kanya neto. At ito po yung kasagutan. Kung gusto mo makasiguro, look at the name on your marriage certificate. Doon mo manalaman kung talagang tama ang pinakasalan mo. Kung ano ang pangalan niya, kung diyan ang katabi, ay tama. No? So, wag na po tayo magdalawang isip. Friends, you are married to the person who God wants you to be married to. Regardless na ito'y arranged marriage or both of you planned your marriage. O kaya naman, nagpakasal ka dahil sa certain pressures ng situation mo or someone pressured you. Ang asawa mo ngayon ay ang kaloob sa iyo ng Panginoon. Yan ang kalooban. Yan si kalooban. Regardless, ikaw ay nagpakasal sa mali, with wrong motives o mali ang motibo. In our Bible study last night, isa sa mga kasamahan namin asked this question, lahat ba ng kasal ay kalooban ng Panginoon? So which is a very good question. No one sabi ko, yes, pero sabi ko, teka muna. It depends. Kasi may mga kasal na karumal-dumal sa harapan ng Panginoon. There are marriages that God abhors, and these are what we call medyo extreme yung situations. Gaya po ng child marriage, na kung saan ang isang tribe inala yung kanilang batang anak na minor sa isang mama at nagbayad yung mamang ito at sila'y kinasal. God abhors that. May mga marriages na kung saan tinatawag na human-animal marriages. A marriage between two different species, which is hindi ho kalugod-lugod sa harapan ng Panginoon ito. Eh, Pastor, mga uncommon na yan. Well, how about this? Same-sex marriage. Kasi malino sa verse 6. Ano sinabi sa verse 6? From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. God abhors such union. These are extreme exemptions, by the way. E paano, Pastor, kung unbeliever ang napakasalang ko? Anong gagawin ko? What if I married a non-Christian and I am reaping the fruits of pain and hurting dahil sa desisyon kong ito? Does that give me the right na hiwalayan na siya dahil abusive itong mamang ito o itong aling ito? Total, hindi naman siya Christian. Well, the answer to that still needs to be from Scripture. And sabi sa 1 Corinthians chapter 7, wag mo hiwalayan. Verse 13 to 14 of 1 Corinthians 7. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her or him, he or she should not divorce him or her. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. In short, sinasabi, huwag mong hiwalayan. Pero anong sinasabi rito magiging holy? Ibig sabihin, maliligtas sila dahil kinasal sila? No, hindi yan ang sinasabi. Ang hopes ni Paul na huwag mong hiwalayan. Well, una, mali na yung ginawa mo. Huwag mo nang dagdagan ng isa pang mali. Nagkasala ka na dyan, nagkakasala ka pa ulit kung hihiwalayan mo yan. Kasi yung hopes that by your Christian witness na itong mama na to, itong ali na to na asawa mo na hindi Kristiyano would be compelled dahil sa buhay mo, dahil sa witness mo, dahil sa gospel na sinishare mo to believe in the Jesus Christ that you believe. Pati yung mga anak mo. So don't divorce them. Yun po yung sinabi. Paul encourages na magpatuloy sa relasyon in hopes for this. No? Pero Pastor, is there a good time to divorce? Is there a time na para ako magpaanal? May lugar ba ang Bible para doon? Which we go to our second sub-point. Divorce is permissible but not required under two circumstances. At yung two circumstances na yan ay two biblical warrants, if you may. Una, may panahon po na ang divorce or sa situation po natin, legally, we're talking about legal na pagkakahiwalay, no? Divorce or annulment is allowed on the grounds of two cases. One, adultery. And second, abandonment by a non-believing spouse. Yun lang po yung dalawang yon. Yun ang dalawang grounds, biblically na marinaw, na pwede kang mag-divorce. So, adultery. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. So in short, kung ikaw ay nagpa-divorce, pero hindi legally mandated by scripture yung divorce mo, then nagkakasala ka, nagpakasal ka ulit. Ang sexual sin ay sinisira ang marital covenant dahil ang sex po ay yung tinatawag na oath signing ng marriage covenant. If the oath is broken, ganun din po, and so divorce is allowed. Alam ng lahat ng mga Jews ito, alam din ni Jesus to kasi tinuro ni Jesus ito sa Mount, sa Sermon on the Mount sa Matthew chapter 5 verse 32, basahin natin. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So malinaw po yan. If the person, if the partner commits adultery, that's grounds for annulment. That's grounds for divorce. Divorce is also allowed, hindi lang dahil sa adultery, but also on the grounds of abandonment of unbelieving spouse. Okay? Kanina nabanggit natin na dapat hindi mo hiwalayan ang iyong spouse na hindi Kristiyano o hindi mananampalataya. Pero kung ang hindi mananampalatayang Kristiyano ay nakakita ng iba at iniwanan ka, you have grounds to annul them. You have grounds to divorce them. Yun po yung sinasabi rin sa 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15 hanggang 16. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. Hindi siya bound sa marriage na yun. Kung sa relationship na yun, kung siya magpapa-annul or divorce. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you'll save your wife? Ang sinasabi po ni Paul dito, kung unbeliever mong, kung ang unbeliever mong asawa ay iniwan ka at sumama sa iba, you have the right to divorce. You have the right to annul. May pastor, meron pa bang ibang grounds bukod sa dalawang biblical mandate na ito o yung warrant na ito para magpa-divorce o para magpa-annul? May iba pa ba? Well, biblically, wala na. Unless namatay, then you can remarry. Automatic ho yun. Pero pastor, paano kung ilang taon nang paulit-ulit, ginugulpe, paulit-ulit, inaabuso physically, paulit-ulit, inaabuso sexually, ang kanyang asawa, pati ang kanyang mga anak, abusive, physical. Anong gagawin namin doon? Sun grounds, pwede bang, ano ba, siguro na lang, i-trust the Lord na lang, ituloy-tuloy na lang ba yung relasyon na yon? Di ba? Kahit puro pasa na tayo? Well, I tried to do some research dito. No? Scholars agreed, notable biblical scholars, scholars that we kinikilala natin na sound, agreed that abuse is a form of abandonment. Okay? Abuse is a form of abandonment. It's a form of abandoning the marriage. The responsibility, the intimacy, the responsibility, the very spouse that he is called to protect, he is the one harming. So there is an abandonment sa marital sa kanilang marriage. It's a form of abandoning the marriage, as we said. So it would be no longer safe para yung asawa at anak to be in the presence ng lalaki o babaeng ito. And from there, since there's grounds for abandonment, then that person can pursue yung divorce. But I want to be careful sa pagbigay ng mga recommendation na hindi clear sa Bible. Situations like this should be done cautiously, carefully, discerningly. Hindi dapat nagmamadali. Situations like this should be done in prayer. At hindi lahat ng case ay pare-pareho at kailangan ng pag-iingat at panalangin. Of course, if there's a question of divorce, there's also a question of remarriage. At dito kadalasan ng mga evangelical community disagree on each other. So kung I would say, just to, in passing, since tinamaan din natin, kung properly divorced or legitimately divorced ang spouse, then there is freedom to remarry. I know there's probably disagreements in that, and that's okay. We can talk about it sa mismong mall. Friends, for those of you who are married, I don't know yung situation nyo ngayon sa marriage ninyo. But are you about to give up on your marriage? Are you about to the point of leaving yung spouse mo? Maring wala tayong divorce sa Pilipinas, pero maybe you are thinking about annulment. O siguro dahil mahal ang magpaanal, maybe you're thinking na takbuhan na lang o iwanan ng iyong asawa. O maaaring hindi mo plano hiwalayan o takbuhan ng iyong asawa, pero yung pagsasama ninyo sa isang bubong ay para kayong anal. Kung paano kayo magtratuhan sa bawat isa. Friends, I urge you, if your marriage is struggling, do not be silent. Do not be silent. Both of you need help. Maybe one of you sa mag-asawa needs to say, it's time for us to seek help. Now, don't say na parang, oh, kailangan mo na ng counsel. Eh, doon na dadali, doon nag-aawa. Ba't ako lang, ikaw? Kailangan natin magpa-counsel. Kailangan natin ng tulong. Friends, I urge you, do not be silent. Reach out to your pastors. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ dito sa crossroads. Don't abandon your marriage. Hindi porque there's allowance ho sa pag-pursue ng annulment, hindi necessarily kailangan gawin. Remember, God hates annulment. God hates divorce. God hates ang separation ng mag-asawa. Singles, maybe you're saying that this has nothing to do with, we know there's a lot, marami hong kinalaman to sa inyo as you think about your future spouse, but also pray. Pray for your brothers and sisters dito sa crosses. Pray for their marriage. Pray for your elders' marriages. Pag-pray po ninyo. Pursue them. Talk to them. Kamustahin nyo sila. You are a brother. You are a sister. Kamustahin ninyo ang mga couples dito sa church. And pray for them. Ang pagiging unfaithful, unloving, passive ng asawa mo does not have to end the marriage kahit allowed and divorce. Annulled and divorce. But God never commanded it. Bagamat allowed ito, hindi niya kinumand ito. The goal is always repentance and restoration. May pag-asa po ang marriages natin. Si Prophet Hosea ay sinabihan ng Diyos na kung nakunin si Gomer, na si Gomer po ay isang prostitute. Pakasalan daw at turingin na parang sarili niyang asawa. Siyempre, pakakasalan niya, magiging asawa niya na parang wala siyang background sa karir niya. Ang problema, yung ginawa ni Gomer, after na makinabang sa kabutihan at grasya ng propetang ito, siya'y bumalik sa pagpo-prostitute. Nagbalik sa pagbebenta ng laman. Automatically, ang dapat response ni Hosea, at talaga kung gusto mo dyan, bahala ka na. Pero ano sinabi ng Diyos? I-pursue mo. Inutos ng Panginoon sa kanya na balikan mo, buy her back, redeem her. Why? Because God is trying to teach the people of Israel of something about Himself. Friends, this is the picture of God's love, mercy, and grace. This is the gospel na lahat tayo have rejected God and followed the seduction of this world. We have chosen to flirt and enjoy the pleasures of sin. But God, in His loving kindness, Hindi nagpadala ng kidlat para tapusin tayong lahat o pinatapon tayo sa pinag. No, but God's loving kindness sends His Son, Jesus, the bridegroom who redeemed us from our sins by dying in our place on the cross and restored us, redeemed us from our sin and restore yung relationship natin kay God. Friends, this is the gospel and yung invitation is being extended sa atin ngayong gabi. Repent. Talikuran na ang ating mga kasalanan, ilagay ang ating pananampalataya kay Kristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para may kapatawaran sa kasalanan. Kung ikaw o iyong asawa have committed adultery, kung ikaw mismo ang nangalun niya, kung ikaw ay nabiktima ng asawa mo dahil siya'y nangalun niya, I encourage you, huwag ninyong takbuhan. Huwag ninyong bastang hiwalayan. May pag-asa pa. There is a place of restoration, bagamat mahirap ito. Ito'y oportunidad, kapatid, to picture God's love by forgiving that person who offended you. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, it is impossible for you to have a marriage according sa design ng Panginoon. So I urge you, yung unang relationship na kailangan maayos ay yung relationship mo sa Diyos. Repent from your pride. Repent from your self-saving attitude and run to the ultimate Savior, Jesus. If you are here today at nangalun niya ka, or you are the offending party, maaring ikaw ay nangalun niya, o maaaring nakipag-engage in physical or sexual abuse sa iyong asawa, kaibigan, I urge you, hinto mo na yan. Isuko mo na yung relasyon na yan. Isuko mo na yung gawain na yan. Isuko mo na yan. That is not saying na ikaw ay mananampalataya. That is not a picture of the gospel. Repent. Repent from your sins and ask God to forgive you from your sins. Yung sins mo ay may kapatawaran kasi may nagbayad ng iyong kasalanan. Run to the Savior, there's hope. Mga kaibigan, nais namin kayong tulungan. We want to see your marriages restored. Huwag mo nang palagpasin ang araw o gabi na hindi humihingi ng tulong. Sometimes it's pride ang reason kung bakit hindi naaayos ang ating mga relasyon. Tama na yung nakakahiya. Tama yung nakakahiya. Kailangan natin ng tulong. Number two, and last, marriage. Verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made the male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Two more sub-points. Number one, marriage is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. Hindi ito idea ng gobyerno. Hindi ito idea ng ordinaryong tao. Marriage is God's design, God's idea. He created them male and female. Marriage is God's idea. God has joined you to your spouse. You don't do it. It's His work. You are married to whom you are supposed to be married. Kagaya ng sinabi ko kanina. Ang Diyos ang nag-orchestrate kung paano kayo nagkakilala. Ang Diyos mismo ang nag-ayos kung paano kayo nagkagustuhan. Makikita natin sa Acts chapter 17, verse 26, that God is the one who determines these things. At kung paano kayo nagkaroon ng interest about isa, ang Panginoon din po yan. Yung araw ng inyong kasal, ang Panginoon din po yan. Kaya ito po, no? Sa mga mag-asawa, do this exercise. Pagkagising ninyo ng umaga, tingnan ninyo ang inyong asawa. Okay? Tingnan nyo sa mga mata. Kung nadidistract ka, tanggalin mo. Okay? Tingnan mo sa mga mata at sabihin mo ito. Okay? Tayo'y kasal because it's God's idea. I am married to you because that's God's idea. I don't know if that's an encouragement or a discouragement sa iyo ngayong gabi. But if you feel discouraged, here's what I want to say. Kinasal ka dyan, and you have to trust God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Second subpoint, marriage mirrors the gospel. Marriage involves the most sacred of unions because it mirrors the gospel. Verse 8, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one. Two become one flesh, hindi two naging two flesh, but two become one. Kapag kinasal na po tayo, you now become one flesh. Hindi mo pwedeng turingin na parang flatmate o barkada mo lang yung asawa mo. Hindi lang parang ordinaryo best friend mo, asawa mo yan, one flesh. Itong relationship na ito takes priority in all human relationships. It takes priority over your parents. It takes priority over your children. It takes over priority sa iyong mga kapatid o kasamahan sa trabaho o kung sino man ang malapit sa iyo. Marriage, yung partner mo, takes priority. Itong relationship na ito ang nag-design sa Panginoon. Ang lingwahe mo na dapat ay hindi na tunog individualistic. Ano ba yung tunog individualistic na lingwahe? Hindi na akin yan o sayo yan. Hindi na ho akin, sayo. Ang lingwahe na po ay sa atin. Tayo. Yun na yung lingwahe po natin. Sweldo mo, sweldo natin. Yun ang gusto natin sabihin. Sweldo mo, sweldo ko rin. Asa na? Diba? So, di ba? Which is true. Dapat kasi isa dapat pagdating ang lingway sa finances, iisa ang lingway. Pagdating sa plano sa buhay, iisa ang sinasabi ninyo. Pagdating sa gusto o pupuntan, iisa. Kasi iisa kayo. It's not me anymore. It's we. Yun ang language. Kapag tayo po ay nabubuhay in one flesh sa ating asawa, we are marvelously displaying the gospel to everyone, your children, your parents, your neighbors, kasamahan sa trabaho, and we see that in Ephesians chapter 5. Our marriages are meant to reflect the gospel, yung relationship ni Jesus Christ sa kanyang bride, which is the church. Kaya hindi dapat ito maputol ng divorce. Marriage is a representation of the covenant-keeping love of Christ and the church. That is why God hates adultery. Kung ating marriages ay dapat ipakita yung gospel. Ang ginagawa po ng adultery, it betrays the truth about Jesus. It betrays all truths about Jesus. Bakit kamo? Because hindi ginawa ni Jesus Christ iwanan ang kanyang bride. Hindi niya ginawa na pabayaan siya. Hindi siya nangalunya. He was faithful to the bride. He protected her. He loved her. He cared for her. Jesus is always faithful to her. So friends, reflect on our marriages ngayong gabi. Husbands, this is the standard of love. This is the very shepherd who saved you and are called to mirror Him as you love your wife kasi He loved the church. Friends, God has always have marriage in mind. It was love from before the dawn of time. God began preparing a bride for His Son. Okay? And that is the church. At para matuloy itong kasalan na to, ano mong kailangan mangyari? Para matuloy ang kasalan na to, kailangan may mamatay. Para matuloy itong kasalan na ito, kailangan mamatay para sa kasalanan ng kanyang pakakasalan. Jesus died on that cross. He is the ultimate bridegroom. The crucifixion and resurrection of the groom is what it takes for the marriage to happen. Husbands and wives, God has given us the privilege, enjoy the most intimate human relationship called marriage, to picture the intimacy of Christ's relationship to His church. Your marriage is meant to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mga kaibigan, does your marriage picture the gospel? Here's another question. What are your children seeing in your marriages? Do your children see your marriage and say, I want a marriage pareho ng kay mommy at daddy isang araw? Yung ba nakikita nilang marriage? Do your children say, I want the God of my parents' marriage? I want that God. Your children should see the beauty of the gospel by the way their parents selflessly serve and love each other. Your marriage should magnify Christ's love for the church and display it to the world. So how can our marriage magnify Christ's love for the church? Last 3 points and then we're done. One, love God with all your heart. And again, those who are not married, it is important because it is true also sa pagiging Christian kahit walang asawa. Love God with all your heart. Ang foundation, ito po'y foundational sa marriage. Whether things are going well or things are tough, the most fundamental question that I need to ask myself sa aming relationship, mag-asawa, is, are we worshiping God? There will be times that you will be unhappy with your spouse. May mga times po yan. Especially if there are different seasons ng life, ng marriage. May karamdaman, may financial crunches, may mga difficulties sa adjustment sa age. Ang totoo niyan, kapag hindi tayo satisfied with our spouses, ang totoo niyan, hindi talaga tayo satisfied kay God who had blessed you with your spouse. Discontentment is always a heart issue. The biggest problem in your marriage and in my marriage will not be your circumstances o yung spouse mo. Hindi po ang problema at ang asawa mo. Ang tunay na problema po is your sin. That's the problem ng marriage mo. It's your sin and it's my sin. Loving and worshiping God is the thing our souls were meant to run to. Kung hindi tama ang ating puso sa Panginoon, you will always find ways to complain about your spouse. Kung hindi tama ang puso natin sa Panginoon. Love God with all your heart or else everything about your message will eventually crumble. Kasi hindi kaya nang isustain ng spouse mo yung hinahanap mo. Do not give an obligation sa wife mo na ang Diyos lang ang pwedeng maggumawa. Second, remember your wedding day. Okay? Sa mga kasal, sariwain ang ating marriage vows. Now, and, you know, again, it's good to remember yung flowers, it's good to remember yung mga bisita, yung mga regalo, di ba? Maganda alalahanin ho lahat yon. But hindi po yun ang sinasabi natin dito. The most important thing that we should remember sa ating wedding day is the covenant that we have made between one another, ang iyong asawa, and God. Ang feelings of love come and go. Our marriages can't be fueled by feelings. Bakit hindi ka na sweet, hindi ka na malambing? There will come a time na hindi na sweet masyado. Okay? That's true. Pero your marriage should not be fueled by quivers in the livers. Ano niya yan? Quiver in the liver, kilig. Okay? Your marriage should be fueled by something that is stronger. It can only be sustained when you elevate our covenants to God and each other over our feelings and emotions. There will be times when marriage will be tough. Life will change, family will change, your health will change, and what you only have sa marriage ninyo is a promise. For better, for worse, for sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's the only thing that you have. Trusting that God ordained that. Third and last, embrace the church together. Hindi lang ikaw, si husband, pati si wife. Hindi lang si wife, pati si husband. Embrace the church. You need to have people in your life who knows what's going on sa marriage niyo. Your marriage is a community project, and so is mine. Stay connected to Crossroads and allow us to help you. Help us. Don't even run away from the church. Don't even hide from the church. If there are issues sa life nyo, don't be embarrassed. Wag ho tayo mahiya. Let us help you press into community and let it transform yung life ninyo at saka marriage ninyo. Friends, are you living out your marriage? Are you living out your marriage in the context of community? You should. Kasi we're created for that community, specifically the community that God has saved and purchased by His blood. Marriage is a God-given, it's a gift, it's a God-given blessing sa atin. It's a gift for husbands and wives. It was designed to ideally end only until death. So I urge you, brothers and sisters who are married, pursue Christ. Persevere in marriage. Trust in Him. Singles, pray. Pray that your marriage would be marked by Christ's love in the church. Pray for those, mga brothers and sisters, who are married. Let's pray. Father, as we pray for our marriages. We pray, Lord, na if there are hints or thoughts sa aming isipan of hiwalayin, will you calm our hearts and not be hasty sa mga decision-makings namin. Will you humble our hearts and seek assistance? Seek help. Sa mga lalapit po sa amin with marital struggles or those who are considering entering into marriage, would you give us wisdom tonight? Would you give us wisdom this week? Would you give us boldness, mga pastors and elders, on what to say that is encouraging and scriptural and biblical, that is edifying and glorifying your name? May we champion marriage because it pictures Christ's love and the church, a relationship that lasts towards eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.